holidays to you from all of us here at GoldSeek.com Radio. It is a pleasure to welcome back Fabian Calvo from the Note House. Fabian Calvo runs the NoteHouse.us, which manages about $100 million of distressed real estate each year. He recently penned The Global Economic Reset. It's a pleasure to welcome back Fabian Calvo to the show.
Chris, thanks for having me on. Love GoldSeek.
It's great to have you back, and I'd like to begin, if we could, the dialogue with the coming economic reset. There's always been corruption, there's always been vice, there's always been bad apples in government. What is it that's different this time, though? What is it that you see that's going to take this complex system to that aha tipping point where the chaotic system starts to, you know, roll over the edge of the cliff and everything changes?
Yeah, great point. You know, I'd say, look, if you look at the savings and loan scandal, late 70s, early 80s, people went to jail. Okay, this time around, the banksters on Wall Street are above the law, Chris. Not only are they above the law, but Jamie Dimon and Citigroup and other of these big banks are literally writing the laws of the derivative trading. And so that's, I think, what's changed. I mean, look, in the last year, J.P. Morgan Chase has paid over $60 billion in fines. Really, if you think about it, it's kind of extortion. It's kind of like, okay, well, we're going to let you continue the criminality, but you got to kick us down. It's like straight mob tactic. And so that's why I think this time is different, Chris, is that the level of, I mean, you're right. There's always been corruption. There's always been, but you know, in the past, many times those people went to jail. Well, recently, no one goes to jail. And that's I think one of the biggest, because as I said before, you know, one of the big things I think that will lead to the global economic reset, the dollar losing the world reserve currency, is not only a loss of confidence in the U.S. dollar, which is clearly already happening, but also a complete loss of confidence in the U.S. government as an ally, as an economic powerhouse, as having the ability to pay its own debts, and that as well is being called into question.
If we look at the national debt, particularly with regard to unfunded liabilities, it's almost becoming a cliche, I think, in the precious metals crowd. We owe somewhere between 100 trillion with the T and 230 trillion. If you talk to Professor Lawrence Kotlikoff, who's been on the show many times, his forecast well over 200 trillion, 10 to 20 times the total annual GDP, the total economic output of our entire country. Could you imagine as a home debtor if you owned that much? I mean, no bank would give you a loan. Nobody would give you a mortgage. We'd be living in our SUVs and our RVs. Tell us what this means on a forward-looking basis.
Well, you know, forward-looking, I think that we have the Fed, still continuing to keep rates at record lows. I think I may have mentioned this last time I was on the program, Chris. You know, the fact that the rates in America has been, you talk about more criminality, let me just throw this one, sprinkle this one in, is that since 2001, 2002, when the rates, because rates have been so low for so long, it's literally robbed the middle class in America of over $9 trillion that it otherwise would have been interest payments they would have received. So you have that component going on, and I think it's disturbing. And let me just also say, you mentioned with respect to the unfunded liabilities, you know, Niall Ferguson, who's a professor at Harvard, actually an historian, has put that number over $220 trillion. Chris, it is clearly unsustainable. If this was an economic household, if this was my household, your household, we would have had to have filed bankruptcy long ago. And another point that I was looking at this morning, which is interesting, you know, going back to Russia, we've seen a collapse in the Russian ruble this year, down 50%. But if you look at the fundamentals of the U.S. dollar versus the ruble, the capital ratio for the U.S. Fed is like 1.26. In Russia, it's over 12%. The Russians have been buying gold over 100 tons year after year for some time now, and the Fed proudly proclaims on its website they have literally no gold whatsoever. So you know, it's definitely an interesting world, that's for sure.
Speaking of no gold whatsoever, you know, recently you may have heard that the Netherlands just repatriated about 100 tons from the Federal Reserve, probably Bank of New York. If the gold is there, physically, the vaults of Fort Knox, how encumbered is it? This is the big question mark. Does this not amount to anything at all? I mean, has the market already discounted what could be going on, the shenanigans behind the scenes there?
Well, you know, that's a great question. You know, I recall when the MF Global and John Corzine's hedge fund went bankrupt, how they had actually in their contracts with their customers a very tiny small print at the bottom that their assets would be allowed to be rehypothecated. Here's another perfect example. John Corzine steals $1 billion of customer money, doesn't go to jail. And so by rehypothecating it, is that they were taking assets and selling those assets multiple times over, to just put it very simply. I believe that's exactly what's happened with the gold in Fort Knox, even there, which I don't think it is. I mean, you have members of the U.S. Senate and House that have tried to go in and personally audit it, and it's impossible to do so. So, yeah, I think that poses a very big problem. You said before regarding kind of where does this go from here, and I think, again, because the Fed's zero rate interest policy. They can't raise interest rates, or it's going to collapse the U.S. economy. They want to keep inflating the stock in the housing bubble, and I think that's what we're going to see going into 2015. We're going to see them continue to be reckless with the country's finances and with their economic policies.
Well, you know, you talk about inflating the nation's housing bubble, the real estate bubble. What an interesting bubble indeed. 75 years, not a single downtick for 75 years. You could argue the greatest bull market in the history of mankind, period. People turned to the stock market roaring 20s, 1982 through the year 2000, nothing compared with the U.S. real estate market. And as you mentioned, Professor Niall Ferguson at Harvard is a big proponent of the concept that in this society, wherever it is around the world, owning your own land is at the heart, that we all want a little slice of that American dream, if you will. So real estate bubble, why then would they go to all the trouble of blowing another bubble? Well, could it be, it happens to be one of the number one employing sectors or segments of the society. Is that what they want? Do they think by blowing another bubble, they're going to pull us out of the mire, Fabian?
You know, I think it's a split decision on that, Chris. And I think some of them definitely do believe that. And the real estate bubble, if you think about it, is very easy to inflate. You just basically give money to people that would otherwise not be able to buy a home. And you have government-sponsored entities basically back those loans. And look, we're looking right now at the millennial generation. I believe it's 18 to 35. They are the largest home buying demographic in America now, but they don't have a down payment. So I think what's obviously happening, it's already started to happen, is that they're going to start giving loans to these people, anyone who could fog up a mirror.
Right.
So you have a certain group that says, okay, well, that's what we need to do. We need to keep expanding the credit markets in order for the economy to grow. On the other side, I think you have, and this could potentially be a majority, you have literally criminals that are guarding the head house. They get this is the end of this current business cycle, and they are literally pillaging and robbing as much as they can, and boom and bust cycles are always the perfect place to do that. And so that's what I think is a big driver of.
Take a look at the Corzine situation. You know, MF Global, the focal point for a mob, a group of banksters who are fomenting much of this, because I think you kind of alluded to that, you know, we like to have, you know, the Madoffs, the Corzines. We like to have these people we can point our fingers at and say, see, there's the guy, there's the problem, there, that's it. But is there something deeper at play here?
No question. It's a great point, too, because also they usually go after, like, these low-level managers at banks. When the truth is, I mean, look, you know, we mentioned Jamie Dimon earlier in the interview, and, you know, Jamie Dimon, at minimum, should be imprisoned for what he's done to the U.S. economy. On record, we know, and your audience will know this as well, that, you know, J.P. Morgan's been caught manipulating the precious metals market. You know, in any real country with respect to, you know, where there's real, you know, rule of law. So we have that going on. So yeah, look, there's these low level guys. Corzine stole $1 billion. The truth is you have the Fed that has stolen through its interest rate policies, has stolen $9 trillion for the American middle class, as they just spoke about a little bit ago. So, you know, it's like what's the scale here? You know, if we're going to go after the big fish, I think the big fish are those that sit on the big banks. And again, I'm talking about the teller at Wells Fargo or the guy who's doing home loans at Bank of America. I'm talking about the upper elite that play by a different set of rules that are not capitalist. I'm a complete free market capitalist. These are crony fascistic capitalists that basically, you know, profiteer from the chaos that they create.
I'd like to know about these six times in history, these six earlier global resets. You say that a seventh global reset is on the horizon. Give folks some background on what we've seen in the past, please.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's gone. I believe it's from the Netherlands to the Spanish to the French. The French had the world reserve currency in the 1700s. You know, then after that, England took over the world reserve currency. They had it, of course, up until Bretton Woods. So that's already happened six times in modern history, Chris. I mean, we can go back and we can look at the Greeks. We can look at the Byzantine Empire. We can look at the Romans. All of them failed because of a reckless central government that completely manipulated and debased the currency. So now we have the U.S. economy, and I think that you see all the indicators of, for example, China now having the largest economy in the world. They've surpassed the United States. They, you know, we've had the head of the IMF openly talk about how they might relocate the head of the IMF or the headquarters of the IMF to Beijing. And so, you know, again, you know, the handwriting is on the wall. The world reserve currency status doesn't last forever. And so this isn't necessarily my opinion. I guess it's my opinion on where it goes from here. But it's historical fact that when you have, and here's the other thing, those other countries that I mentioned before, Chris, what they did economically, many of them, is pales in comparison to what the United States has been doing with derivatives, with everything else that it's done, you know, buying its own debt. I mean, it is unprecedented.
You know, you've also got on record recently regarding the real estate explosion that you expect price to continue to climb. We've seen that ever since at least 2010. You seem to think we could have another 2008-style implosion. And we had the Altays. Anybody, as you say, could fog a mirror, could get a loan. You say they're starting that back up again. Little has changed. There's still an unbelievable amount of toxic debt, mortgage-backed securities, CDOs, and everyone else trying to cover their balance sheet against an implosion. Tell us how you see this unfolding, please.
Yeah, so I mean, you're definitely talking about the Alday loans, or you know, many times they're also referred to as ninja loans, no income, no job or asset. So I think that's a big component in the social engineers, central planners' modus operandi for expanding and, you know, like I said, expanding the credit market to what they believe will fuel and grow the economy. I think we're seeing that in the stock market. I've been saying I think the stock market will surpass 20,000. I think the U.S. real estate market next year will go up 5-10% appreciation across the board, but it's going to end very badly. There's just no question about it. The question is, it will end when the rest of the world stops financing America's, and we started to see that with news yesterday that U.S. Treasury holdings from the Chinese are down to a two-year low. So again, the handwriting's on the wall, Chris. You know, your listeners, you know, if they're listening to Goldseek, they get it. It's going to be time to band down the hatches. But at the same time, as an investor, specifically in real estate, that next leg down, I think, will be one of the greatest buying opportunities for investors that are ready to swoop up on really, really expensive assets.
Folks sitting on the sidelines renting or looking to expand their portfolios may just have that big moment up ahead. Interesting indeed. Well, Fabian Calvo, tell folks more, please, about the notehouse.us.
Yeah, so the notehouse.us is basically my private equity firm, and we invest in about 30 different markets, real estate across the country. And my book on the global economic reset can be found at either fabianforliberty.com or on Amazon. Just Google my or search my name on Amazon, and it'll come right up.
Fabian Calvo, it's always great hearing you. We're going to look forward to hearing more from you.
Chris, thanks for having me on. Love Goldseek. Keep doing what you're doing. I think you're waking up a lot of people. You got great interviews.